We're supposed to form our beliefs in a way that is rational, right? And here's where reason comes back for Locke. And we're supposed to do our best so that our beliefs are true. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be held responsible for whether our beliefs are actually true for Locke. For Locke, the notion is if you do your best to make your beliefs true, then no one can blame you for not doing any better. So Locke proposes a way of doing your best to make your beliefs true. And then even if your beliefs aren't true, you've done your best, you've done your duty, and no one can blame you. So how would we do this? How do we do our best? And notice, again, this is individual, right? How do I as an individual do my very best, right? And Locke will insist it's not by believing what other people tell you. It's not by reading the text of the tradition. It's not by reverting to authority or tradition. You've got to figure this out for yourself, right? That's the key theme of epistemological individualism. You have to figure it out for yourself, not rely on tradition or authority. Well, how do you do that for Locke? Well, what you do is adopt a program that has been called evidentialism. And the idea is you're going to try to figure out which of your beliefs have the strongest evidence, and you proportion the degree of your belief to the degree of the evidence. You're not allowed to believe something more strongly than the evidence allows you to believe it. That's the key proposal. Makes sense, right? Seems almost obvious, but it was a new proposal. Right? No one had proposed quite this sort of thing before Locke. And that's because no one had supposed that individuals are supposed to assess the evidence for beliefs. So what you're going to do for Locke is you collect all these beliefs and you see how one belief is dependent on another. You know how this works with science, right? One sort of observation is evidence for a theory, and the theory is based on the evidence. And for instance, if you're a scientist, you're not going to accept a theory if it doesn't have any evidence, right? You'll say, oh, that's an interesting hypothesis, but let's test it by the evidence, right? So in effect, what Locke is doing is saying, let's adopt this standard of scientific evidence for all of our beliefs and say we don't have a right to our beliefs unless we have evidence for them, right? That makes perfect sense in science. You don't want people adopting scientific theories with no evidence at all. But it's a very high standard for ordinary beliefs. For most of our beliefs, we believe what we're told. You open a map and you say, oh, Montana's over here. I've never been there. I've never seen it myself, but I'll believe what the map tells me, right? What kind of evidence do you have for that? Well, you believe in what you're told. You believe in what's written in a kind of text. So evidentialism is a very high standard, and it would mean that a lot of our beliefs are not well-grounded and we don't really have a right to them because we haven't seen the evidence for ourselves. So Locke is proposing that this evidentialist criterion should be the way we judge our beliefs. And in particular, we proportion the degree of our belief, the strength of our belief, to the strength of the evidence. We could use a new term at Locke's time and say we proportion the strength of our belief on the strength of the probability of what we believe. Probability is actually a new term. Or rather, it's an old term with a new meaning. Because in the Middle Ages, if you said something was probable, what you meant was that some authority said it was true. And therefore, that gave you probable reason to approve of it. The word probable comes from a Latin word meaning approve. Well, the modern notion, of course, is quite different. It's assessments of probability. You know, if you flip a coin 10 times, there's so much probability of it turning up heads so many times and so on. That's a new notion, develops at about the same time as Locke, and is keyed into this notion of evidentialism. All right. Well, this notion of evidentialism, of proportioning your belief to the evidence, is so familiar to us nowadays that it's hard for us to realize that it was a new idea in Locke's time. And it had new consequences. Let's look at two key consequences of Locke's picture of religion, his picture of epistemological individualism. First of all, to go back to that dark inner room.